Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Evan. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Earl. How are you?
I called you Evan.
That's good,
oh,
hey.
I meant to say Calvin. Hey, good morning, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And that was none other than Evan Goyke, state representative. Good morning to you, Mr. Evan Goyke. How are you?
I'm good, Earl. And we need Calvin because without, I can't do any of the magic that he does. So, hey, morning to you too, Calvin.
Neither can I, man. You know, I still have trouble navigating the cell phone, right? yeah. You know, and these things, man, there's so many things happening with that. Can you handle all that tech? Well, you're a young guy. Your hair is still brown. You can handle all that stuff.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm right in the middle, Earl. Like, I'm a little bit dangerous, but I'm pretty bad at it. I have a young person that works for me in Madison, much younger than me, and she is deeply frustrated with my limits. Like, I know what I know, but, you know, can't teach me new tricks.
Well,
technology.
You know, man, I'm kind of succeeding now at learning how to turn on the laptop. And
yeah, and we're here. I made it. You know, and you got the cell phone. You know how to call me.
Yeah, so I'm getting a little bit better with that. But anyway, man, a lot to talk about. It's great to have you on, man. Let's begin with. What are these people talking about, man? They're making threats to what's the word I'm looking for, man?
Impeach, I think. Yeah.
Impeach. You know, a Supreme Court justice. I mean, what is that? What is this?
Yeah, just for listeners' background, Robin Voss, who is the Speaker of the State Assembly, was on a radio show. Yeah. was on a radio show out of Wausau and was having a conversation. It's a conservative talk show. And, Justice Protasiewicz had just been sworn in, and we just had the inaugural. And so they're kind of talking about it. And I think for the first time, really, the speaker started floating the idea of impeachment. I think some fringe folks had talked about it in the spring, in the lead up to the April election, but it wasn't really serious. I think what's catching a lot of people's attention is the speaker talking about it in greater depth and detail and at greater length. So he has essentially made this not so veiled threat or put out there the idea that the assembly would initiate impeachment proceedings or could initiate impeachment proceedings should Justice Protasiewicz not recuse herself on a lawsuit that's recently been filed challenging the constitutionality of our partisan gerrymandered legislative maps. That's it. That's like the whole kit and caboodle. And
so you know Lemahieu, now the majority speaker. Now, he seems to be a little more reasonable. I mean, this can't possibly happen, can it?
It could possibly happen. Will it happen? You know, it's never happened before. Let's say, and just to lay this out clearly, the impeachment proceedings happen in the state assembly. There's actually a trial and conviction and removal in the Senate.
Okay.
And so they're kind of two different houses with two different options. But this is in our state constitution, which lays out this kind of structure, but it hasn't ever really been used. There was an impeachment proceedings begun in the state assembly in, Earl, 1853. So, you know, it's before the Civil War. It's before women, you know, or black folks could serve. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is what we refer to as the nuclear option, right? This is the melt down the entire political apparatus, throw the state into constitutional crisis because it's never happened before. It should not happen.
But we do know that these people, if they don't get their way, not only on the state level, on a national level, they're all in on whatever it takes. Here's what frustrates me the most, Representative Gorky, is we've 15 years they've had control over the Supreme Court. 15 years. And one day, when just one day they didn't still have control, this is what they do, man. They're like your 2-year-old. I'm sorry for throwing your 2-year-old into the mix.
It's okay. Your 2-year-old
probably has a little more self-control than they do. But come on, man. You're around these people. I mean, is this really who they are?
Well, I think what it shows to me is where their power comes from in the state legislature is really devised from an illegitimate and unconstitutional map that they're talking about this in the confines of a discussion about redistricting, right, and gerrymandering. And it shows you immediately that without that, if they're going to go to this unprecedented length and really light the partisan, really put us into a constitutional crisis, it's because without those gerrymandered maps, they don't have their majority. And that's why they're considering these unprecedented options, because it's how they hold on to power.
And they've gotten so used and so drunk with that power that they can't even conceive of not having it.
And then one other point that I want to make, and I hope that, this is not lost on you or anyone listening. In this discussion that Robin Voss had on the radio, it's not that their maps are fairly drawn. He never once defended the partisan gerrymander, which I totally believe, wholeheartedly unconstitutional. And so it's not a defense of what they've done. It's this effort to find some procedural thing that we haven't used since 1853 to protect the core, which is this unconstitutional partisan grab of power.
Representative Gorky, those of us who have had to live with this for the last 15 years and all these different cases that this a state Supreme Court wound up agreeing to, why am I having a senior moment right now? Where unions
right to work, and
all of these things, concealed carry, and I mean all these things that were shoved down the throats of people who disagree with it, and we've had to live with that, and clearly we didn't attempt to do what they're doing, and yet here they are saying we want to keep this power and we don't care about the rest of you. It's those of us on this side of the aisle and the rest of you. But that's not how a state is not made up that way, is it?
No, I mean, I think you see impacts of that ripple through the state of Wisconsin. I think people on both sides of the aisle are just fed up with the way Madison operates or fails to operate. And you are correctly retelling history of the last decade plus in this state. The Republicans got a majority in 2011, and they radically changed how the state operates very quickly. And throughout that decade, and what they've done, and what they're trying to do in this new kind of threat of impeachment, is to preserve that power indefinitely, Earl. Right? What they're trying to do. They're saying we've got a map that unfairly gives us power in violation of the state constitution. The people elected Justice Protasiewicz with an 11-point margin statewide in a purple state. She kicked the hell out of Dan Kitt, landslide. And they are now going to say that we will invalidate that outcome and we'll put her in this position, potentially. We're threatening her with this posture. And it's an unbelievable threat and an unbelievable, potential power grab.
You know, Representative Gorky, for those of us who've been around a while, we always took pride in the fact that nationally, Wisconsin was looked at as one of the cleanest states as it related to government. And people, I remember as a younger man, people used to always say, well, Wisconsin, Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is the right way that government should be run. But that has long since been in the rearview mirror, and now all over the nation, Wisconsin is known for being one of the most, far-right-leaning governments and willing to do whatever is necessary to not allow, the government to act the way it should act, and that's through elections and through fair and equitable debates.
Yeah, we took a very sharp right turn. And then some of these types of mechanisms and legislation and Supreme Court rulings push us further to the right and have made it very difficult to swing back to the middle, to the left. It really is a fundamental change in how we govern in the last.
And I'll tell you, at the root of all of it was conservative talk radio that took control over the political leaders on the right in this country, in this state. I remember it well when it first started, and still, even to this day, as you said, Robin Voss was on some conservative station and making these kinds of statements. That's where they go. Those are their masters, and the people who vote every day don't matter, because those conservative talk stations wield the power, and the lawmakers on the right follow whatever it is they want to do. And I say this quickly. I remember conservative talk show hosts saying anybody who voted about recalling Scott Walker, they put the names of all the people. Mm-hmm. As if those people shouldn't get hired for. I mean, just some horrible, horrible things these people have done. We got to go to a break when we come back. State Representative Evan Gorky is on the line. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join us. We'll be right back.
And you put all the lists out there. And I can remember very vividly having conversations with people at their doorsteps saying, we're not going to sign anything ever again for anyone in politics because we don't know what you're going to do with my name. And they felt really, threatened by that.
And all of that is forgotten. I didn't forget it because I know the impact that had on people. And people were not able to get jobs and all sorts of things. And that was the Republican Party, right?
No, and I've got, and I mean, it continues. I've been working on a bill since I got in, since 2013. And it's a criminal justice reform related bill. It's bipartisan.
Hang on.
Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the low 80s to the upper 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be
Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Representative Evan Goyke. And you know, Evan, before we went to break, I was recalling, no pun intended, the recall attempt of Scott Walker, then Governor Scott Walker, because of Act 10. And I remember lists that were made for anybody who signed the recall of Scott Walker, and conservative talk radio and others used it to blackmail and tell businesses that Earl Ingram signed the recall petition, so don't hire Earl Ingram. And that kind of thing and underhandedness, I think, opened the door, Evan Goyke, Representative Goyke, to the stuff we're dealing with now. That was the beginning of what has transpired in this state and nationally as far as the Republicans and how far they'll go to retain power.
You know, I do agree. You know, in 2011, as I said earlier, we took a very sharp turn to the right. And you know, many of the people that are in power in the legislature now are part of that same cast of characters. I mean, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, was in 2011, not the Speaker, but he was right there as the number two or three person in the Assembly and part of, you know, and not just the elected members, Earl, but their staff and the people that are kind of behind the scenes, often orchestrating some of this. And I think an important point to make on our initial conversation about this threat about Justice Protasiewicz or the items that we're talking about of you know, publicizing names, it does have a chilling effect on our democracy. I mean, people are aware that that happens. And when we were on our break, I was telling you a brief story of, you know, I was in politics in that same, you know, cycle, and it was hard to get people to engage, to sign your nomination papers or to answer the door because they felt what was happening was so negative and nasty that they didn't want to participate. And I think there is a sense, a calculation that has, that if everybody says, I hate politics, and they give up, you know, and they say, I don't want to engage, that there will be a net benefit to conservatives in that scenario. You know, that more left-leaning voters will say, ah, the whole system's broken, what can I do about it? And meanwhile, kind of the core conservative base will remain faithful and will vote, and there'll be an electoral, you know, benefit to conservatives. I just want to say, I hope people that listen and see this stuff go down, like this impeachment threat, don't lose faith, but re-engage. You know, that's what the point of some of this is, to get people to give up and say it's hopeless, I can't do anything. And that would be tragic if people have that takeaway.
You know, Evan, I kind of understand how people feel that way. I don't agree with it, but it seems insurmountable what they've been able to do. And like I said, 15 years now. And you know, if it wasn't for Governor Evers, can you imagine where we would be now? I mean, and the fact that the power that they gave to then Governor Scott Walker, that they never thought would ever wind up in the hands of a Democrat. And then the first thing they did when he got elected was try to take some of that power back.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been there, man. I take my hat off to guys like you. I couldn't do your job, man. I mean,
yeah. It's been an interesting and really difficult era to serve. You know, I love my job. I love being in the legislature. I hear stories of the old days when the Republicans and Democrats would sit together, and I often lament that that's not the time in which I get to serve. We have limited opportunities to serve people, and we, you know, I'm not going to be in office forever. And it's too bad that it's this era of hyper-partisanship where the conservatives have driven us off the right cliff.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Tom, I'll see you other side, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
And when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me. I just one look at you and I know it's gonna be. And when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Dadgummit, who is he and what is he to you?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Representative Evan Goyke. Let's go to the phone lines and tell him, hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Earl. Thank you, Congressman Goyke, as well, for being on the show. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. The Republic Foxcons, we have to always remember that when, you know, we go back in history and we had Nixon, who was never really held for his crimes. We have George War Criminal Bush, who was never held for his crimes. And we have Scott Walker, Mr. Divide and Conquer strategy, who pitted the educated or the college people against the people that didn't go to college. He pitted the small business owner against the teachers. You know, it's all part of a bigger strategy of divide and conquer. And, of course, Reaganomics, which, you know, took the tax break for billionaires or millionaires at the time from 74% down to 27%. So this has all been a, you know, 40-year kind of experiment to make people have apathy in their government. Paul Weyrich said it very clearly. He doesn't want good government. If you check that out on YouTube. But the whole thing is, if we don't hold some of these people accountable, just like if Scott Walker would have been held, it would have been held accountable. You know, it's the people that also are behind them. So the Nixon people that were never held accountable, including Richard Nixon, but those people then went and were part of the Reagan administration or were part of the Bush administration or, you know, what have you. And if we don't stop these people, just like Ron Johnson, you know, and the fake electors, these people have other webs that come behind them that become part of this whole problem that we never get out of. So people have to be held accountable for what it is. And we do need to have justice, and not just with like Donald Trump, but the people that are behind him, because it's just like Joe Biden. Joe Biden might be the president, but it's his people that he delegates that are the people that are going to, you know, keep us in a more FDR progressive way. And Congressman Goyke, I would just ask that, you know, maybe you call yourself an FDR Democrat, and maybe we actually resurrect FDR, because he was the father of Social Security. And, you know, he was someone that believed in we the people being
so,
the government.
So
thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Well, you know, if there is one that is in that lineage, it is Representative Goyke. You want to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I think it. I certainly agree with many of the caller's comments, and when there isn't accountability, it does teach those folks coming up or those folks around, say you're a young staffer in the office of Speaker Robin Voss, and your assignment is to do some impeachment of Protasiewicz work, right? And whatever happens will happen, but you're that person then, you know, as the caller was indicating, might be in politics for 30 years, right? and gets taught that this is the way to do it, that the slash and burn, win at all costs, divide and conquer mentality is the only mentality. And it's very hard to unlearn it once it's been baked into the system structurally as it has in Wisconsin for 10 years.
So years. Let's go to Foxconn and I think
the caller mentioned Foxconn.
And you know what? Con.
Yeah, this is back in the news recently because the company is putting the downtown Green Bay office building for sale after purchasing it and doing nothing with it. You know, this is not the first property that's happened with. We still have a Foxconn building downtown in Milwaukee. Not sure what it's doing. My wife works right next door. I've never really seen anyone coming and going. But look, Earl, I think the point is, you know, we've never really had accountability for this massive boondoggle, and it really is. I just don't understand how it wasn't or why it isn't a bigger deal to the electorate, because it was promised the eighth wonder of the world, right? It was this major, major thing. You and I were talking about this on the break. We moved money from one freeway project, the Zoo Interchange, specifically the north leg of the Zoo Interchange. So from I-94 up to basically
massive Capital. Massive project.
Yeah. And so then we expanded and then expedited I-94 between Milwaukee and Kenosha. And then on top of the freeway, you know, so that's just the I-94 freeway system. There was $172 million in local and state highway dollars. So if you've ever driven by Foxconn, I mean, it is a palatial four-lane highway.
Yeah, it is.
That ends unceremoniously. I want to tell you a Foxconn story. I was out last fall. I was out campaigning for my buddy Tip McGuire. He's a representative in the 64th, and he has a piece of Mount Pleasant. And I was with some friends, and we were really close to Foxconn. So we're like, oh, let's go see it. And we had to drive all the way around because all the entrances were barricaded off. So we found the one entrance, and you get up to a security kiosk, and we couldn't get in. We were denied admission through the gate. I had my little government ID, and they said, you don't have an appointment. You don't have an employee badge. You cannot come onto campus and see what's going on. And only people, like the only people that hide that type of, you know, from the public are people that are, you know, hiding something. There's a reason they don't want an elected official to come on campus.
You mean you've never been on the grounds of Foxconn?
I've been near the grounds. I've been on the public road. I've never been let in. I've never been let in behind the fence.
That is absolutely unbelievable. It really is that a state representative could not have access to even just take a look.
It was a really surreal experience. You know, I understand that there are industry proprietary information and things that I wasn't accessing their computer database. I wasn't seeking the launch codes. I just wanted to check out what was going on. I mean, I wasn't like, I think I was in the car with a couple other representatives on Draca and Vining. I mean, so here I am with, you know, the three of us, all Democratic state lawmakers in the area, just trying to figure out what's going on, and couldn't get in.
You know, you talked about, man, four lane highway. You know, what they had talked about at the time, and I never will forget, there were going to be these trucks that were going to be coming in and out of Foxconn, and it was going to be just an unbelievable, as you stated, eighth wonder of the world. This was going to be unspeakable. And now, you know, nothing. And here's the other part of it. You know, somebody should speak on that. I mean, somebody should say, and I don't know who that should be, But some of the people who supported it, Ron Johnson is probably the only guy left still out of all of those people who championed it, you know, on a national scale.
And, well, if Trump's campaigning still, you know, survives in his indictments. You
but
know,
everybody else, Paul Ryan and those, they're all out of, you know, government. So, but
Earl, I want to say two things on this topic for sure. One is we've got some local filmmakers working on a documentary, and I'll just put a plug that when that comes out, you should have those young people on your show to talk about
make
it
sure
and
we
circulate
do
it. And
right.
I can connect you with them. And the second thing I want to say, and I don't fault anyone for trying to do big economic development. It's not that the idea of creating jobs is bad, and that's not. It's how they did it. It's that they didn't do their homework. That it was
clandestine.
You know, it had political motivations because of its timing, and the promises were outrageous and never lived up to. And there should be consequences for that. I don't fault someone for trying. I do fault them because they didn't it wasn't an all good faith effort. We'll try our best.
Right.
Attaboy. It was designed for political purposes, and it was done in a rushed and secret manner. It was, I mean, remember when that came out,
yes.
The deal and concept that Walker had written on a piece of paper
at a restaurant.
A multi-billion dollar deal of our money on a piece of paper and pen. That's not how you do deals like this.
And conservative talk radio jumped on it, supported it 1,000%.
Earl, can you imagine if a Democrat did something like this and we were going to put a factory at the old A.O. Smith site in the Central City and they would go bananas.
I mean,
they would go out.
See, that's the point. And it should never be allowed to happen again. And that's why it's important that these things need to be, you know, looked at closely. Because who knows, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, somebody else gets this same idea to repeat the same thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it has just been among the biggest failures, biggest boondoggle. I mean, from the expectations and promises to what has been delivered. I can think of no government initiative more out of balance. I mean, it is really... really terrible.
And you know, and even during the process, when people were asking questions, and you guys were asking questions, it was like, you know, we'll let you know, right? You're prying into something, right? This is ours, you know. We created this, and we don't have to give answers to anybody. Never mind that there were tax dollars and that these were elected officials, and that they should have had accountability to all taxpayers, right? Not just to Republicans, but to all taxpayers.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think when you take on a major initiative and you promise the delivery of thousands of jobs and you go on television promoting it and you campaign for reelection on it, and it doesn't come true, and you see it's all a house of cards, there should be a consequence for that. There should be accountability for that. These guys should not be in office. I mean, I hope if Trump does run again and you know, or his primary opponent
is
in the debate, he's running. We'll see if he's in custody or not. But, you know, if he's, you know, I'd be fascinating to see if the other Republicans take him on this thing. It's a colossal blunder. He's the one that coined Eighth Wonder of the World, I think. And should be held accountable for it.
Yeah, listen, we've got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. State Representative Evan Goyke. And, you know, when we come back, Representative Goyke, I want you to, you know, touch base on, you know, Republicans got a lot of credit for opening the door for the tax increase on the state and county, city and county levels. You were there when former Mayor Tom Barrett and former state and former county county executive Chris Abele came to the same people and tried to get the same thing done, and they kept saying no. But you know, I want to hear your perspective on that. We'll be right back.
Sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
I woke up in a Bill Withers moment. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. State Representative Evan Gorgas. Man, it's so good to have you on, man. You know, I have a lot of guests and whatnot, man, and, you know, many politricksters. I don't include you in the politrickster category.
I have my days, Earl.
But not at all, man. You're one of the favorite guys that I've known in politics. Let's talk a little bit about the accolades that were given to the Republicans and Robin Vols for making it possible for lowly Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to be able to dig themselves out of the holes that they have been able to dig themselves out of because they don't know how to spend money anyway. And we have to look out for those people. And we have to make sure that those people are going to spend the money the way we want them to. And we're going to put down in capital letters what they can spend the money on. Man, come on, man. Come on, man. That's the way Robin Vols and the Republicans present it. Giving Milwaukee and Milwaukee County an opportunity to do what many other cities comparable have been able to do all over the country, and they want a pat on the back for allowing that. You say what?
Well, first, you start with setting the stage, I think, appropriately, which is this new funding model with the local option sales tax is the most common, you know, one of the most common forms of a larger metro government or county or city. So it's, you know, St. Louis, Kansas City, Minneapolis, these are places that Chicago, it all works. It's very similar because it's just, it is the nature of being the economic hub of the entire region. I authored the bill to increase or to allow this local option sales tax a few years ago and did not get that traction. You know, we've been ringing that bell for many, many, many years, and it went unheard or unanswered. I think what changed really, Earl, is other communities were finding themselves in a similar situation in their budgets and their budget cuts. I can remember very vividly, you know, we get told that we defund the police because that's our ideology and we love crime. There's a small town in northern Wisconsin called Niagara, and their police chief testified to my committee once. You know, they fired two police officers for the same reason Milwaukee did, which is they didn't have the budget. Right. That was probably 25% of their entire police force, right? So what ended up, I tell the story of Niagara because there were many towns and cities across the state hurting in much the same way as Milwaukee. Different areas of hurt. But so a team of Republicans started to get together to solve that through the state's largest local government aid program called Shared Revenue. And, you know, I'm happy that ultimately the city and county got this flexibility. I am dissatisfied with the process that played out in Madison. I voted against the bill in Madison. I lobbied the city and county to enact it once passed. And I voted against the bill because of all the policy strings attached you know, the changes to the police and fire commission, to the school board, and
diversity, no diversity,
diversity, equity, and inclusion, yeah. no dollars for that. The streetcar can't expand, you know, and it isn't it. It I could find no example. I looked, and I could not find an example of another state legislature enacting a local sales tax like this that had all of these policy strings reaching into how that municipality governs itself. And so I was a no. And it's frustrating that that was the cost of admission for the city and the county. And I got a lot of respect for both David Crowley and Chevy Johnson.
So do I.
Those are the guys that were going to have to write the pink slips and walk their workers out the door.
Right.
In major numbers. And so they did what they had to do, and they put a lot of shoe leather in, Earl. I mean, I was up in Rhinelander a couple years ago listening to budget testimony, and in the Hodag Dome, it's this indoor sports complex, and in comes Chevy Johnson and David Crowley, the only black people in for yeah. miles, and they're in there. They're, you know, they are.
Well, you know what else they had going for themselves? In their mid-30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, could you see Tom Barrett running around the state like that, or you know?
I'm sure he's been to Rhinelander once or twice, but yeah. You know, they did a very good job. Those two young men did a good job at doing what they need to do, and I know there's a blowback from them locally, but
right.
I'm very happy. I don't know where we would be at in a couple years
But I'll say this, man, and this is what's at the root of all of it. You pointed out that you couldn't find anything like that anywhere else in the nation. Yet in the state of Wisconsin, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, Earl, what I said on the floor in my closing remarks before I voted on the bill is less, I think it's less about Wisconsin than it is about when, the moment in which the law is being passed. Because when Pennsylvania Republicans voted to give Pittsburgh a local option sales tax in the 90s, I just don't think we were as partisan. It wasn't as
right.
Look, this discussion dovetails perfectly to where we started, which is when you're divide and conquer, when you're scorched earth, they just couldn't help themselves but to dig into the city, into diversity, into police and fire. If this was 30 years ago, that stuff wasn't going to be on the
right,
table. It's more
right.
of a reflection of the moment than the people, in my mind. And that's my view of it, having been in there. And that's an indictment of the moment, right? That's an indictment of the political moment we're in.
You know, man, I really do hate that our time is up for today, because I enjoy talking to you so much, and we get so much done and so much accomplished. We got to do this again soon, real soon, right?
Yeah, have me back on. I want to talk about, you know, becoming the next city attorney in April of 2024.
Well, I thought you were a congressman.
Well, the caller did elevate me to Congress, but I do not accept.
Right.
I do not accept the promotion.
I was about to say, man.
Yeah.
I must have been Rip Van Winkle.
I let it go.
Hey, man, thank you. Tell your mom and dad I said hello. Kiss the baby.
Thank you, Earl. You're a great woman.
All right.
Thanks
we'll
for having
me on. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Darkness every day. No sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no.